Well, friends, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah 29. In a second, I'll get you a page number here, Jeremiah 29, 4 through 14, page 1125, page 1125. Jeremiah 29, we're going to read 4 through 14. This is God's word to us. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage, so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says, do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, it's a favorite verse of mine, maybe you too. Verse 11, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord God, plans to prosper, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Who doesn't love that verse? Here are the people of Judah, a good chunk of God's chosen people, Israel, and they have been exiled to Babylon because of their disobedience to God. And that exile is accomplished through the use of Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. And yet, God being gracious, still offers his people hope, specifically the hope of their return back to Israel. What we read is the part of a letter that God's prophet Jeremiah sent to the elders, priests, leaders, prophets, and all God's people who are now stuck in exile, telling them that the Lord God, after 50, 60, 70 years, has made a promise to bring them back home, bring them back out of exile. He will fulfill his promise to do that, and he did, once he determined that their exile was complete so that his promised land could have rest. But right now, we're at the beginning of that exile. Imagine the despair of God's people, uprooted, marched to Babylon, plopped there, and told, you're now subjects of King Nebuchadnezzar. Deal with it. But God gives them that favorite line or two. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And it won't be here in Babylon, it will be back home. Those are words to show anybody in exile that God is giving them a light at the end of the long tunnel. And we like those kind of words too. We get all excited about the fact that one day God will bring us to heaven. We'll be done with this dark, exile-like place. Hope in a future, prosperous, not harmed. God has his plan to make all things new, and we can't wait for it. Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus. But you know, God says something very important first before he says that. Remember, the people are in exile because of their disobedience to God, and he is the one through Nebuchadnezzar who has carried them into exile. God has. That's what verse 4 says. That's how the letter here begins. You can imagine the people hearing the beginning of that letter and thinking, oh boy, God doesn't care about us anymore. Yet the letter continues. Build houses, settle there, plant gardens, eat what the gardens produce, get married, have kids, matchmake for those kids, have grandkids, increase, don't decrease. What? What's going on? God wants us to pretend this exile isn't even happening? Wants us to dig in here? In Babylon? Surely not. Shouldn't we be poor me-ing and lamenting what bad people we were and just wishing, hoping against hope for it all to end? Surely we shouldn't be plugging in. We should be pining away and just wanting it all to be done. Amen. Maranatha, come, Lord God. No, says the Lord. Build houses, settle, plant gardens, eat, get married, have kids, grandkids, increase. Now get moving. And if they thought he wasn't serious, he followed that up with verse 7. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. You thought Jeremiah 29 verse 11 was a great verse? Well, I contend Jeremiah 29 verses 5 through 7 is an awesome verse. God tells them, stretch your wings there in Babylon. Stretch your wings. You've got work to do, and you're my people. I made you my people, and my people know how to act and do things. You've been living with me for hundreds of years, after all, and I've taught you how things work, how the world works, how to do good things in this world, how to live the right way. I made you my people, and I taught my people what they need to do to transform any place they find themselves into a place that gives honor and glory to me, into a place where justice thrives, where righteousness flourishes, where mercy blossoms, and where love and grace explode. It doesn't matter where you are. You're my people, and my people know how to make the world give glory to me. Stretch your wings there in Babylon. Then I'll bring you back. But can't you just return, Lord Jesus? Yeah, I will. But until I do, you have a job to do, and you know how to do it. Because you're my people, and you have my book, and you know how things work, and how things are supposed to look in this world, so get to work. Stretch your wings. Our second new stretch goal in Vision 2030 goes along with the second third of our vision statement. We're in this series about our vision statement and the stretch goals therein. Reaching out with the gospel, renewing our community, growing closer to Jesus Christ. It's the middle one. That's why it's white. And the stretch goal that goes with renewing our community is this. We are renewing our community by strengthening our local relief partnerships and expanding the use of our church property. Now, over the course of 5 years, the evidence of us going after that goal will be that our relief partnership efforts grow by 30%. In other words, 30% of us more volunteering, serving. 30% more lives impacted, that means. Are you going to be one of the 30% more volunteers in that 5 years? Maybe as a Kids Hope mentor, as a hand-to-hand food distributor, and so on. More evidence a long-range plan for increasing the use of our property and our building to serve our community will be developed. Are you going to work on developing that? Pushing for that? Giving ideas for that? More evidence over the course of those 5 years, we will partner with one or more neighboring churches to demonstrate the love of Jesus to our local neighborhoods. How will I, as a pastor, work on that with my fellow pastors nearby? How will you, as a congregation, push for those partnerships, which sometimes come about at the grassroots level? Hey, my friend from Second Byron is trying to get a new ministry off the ground that is bigger than one church can handle. Is there a way for us as a church, faith community, to partner with Second Byron, but plug in any other neighboring church? Second Byron was just used for as an example. Our stretch goals, big goals, we're stretching over the next 5 years for them. In 5 years, we hope to reach them, but we recognize they're big. Still, we work at them. We stretch our wings to try to accomplish them. Friends, it's Jeremiah 29, verses 5 through 7 in action. That's what it is. My grandfather always used to say, in his slow cadence, bloom where you are planted. That's what God was telling his people. God said, build houses, settle in them, plant gardens, eat from them, get married, have kids, grandkids, increase. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Bloom where you are planted. Renewing our community, our stretch goal related to it, our efforts to reach for it, for the renewal of our community. It's Jeremiah 29, verses 5 through 7 in action. We all had a chance to hear that. Don't know whose it is. So. Well, that's Old Testament stuff. Really? God was telling his people, you're my people, wherever you go. God said to Joshua, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's still Old Testament. Follow the logic. God is saying to his people, I made you my people. I covenanted with you. I taught you how to live. You know what the world is supposed to look like. Mercy, peace, righteousness, love, justice. You think Nebuchadnezzar was king over you? Think again. I am king over all creation. It doesn't matter whether you're in some sort of exile or not. I've made you my people. I have taught you how to live. And you have that to offer to every other human being, every human system, human politic, every neighborhood, every community, every city, every state, every country. Of course you want to roll over and lament and say, Maranatha, come, Lord. Well, sure, that day is coming. And I'm glad it fills you with hope, but guess what? The world is already mine, and I have come and called you to be my people graciously. And I forgive you when you disobey me because you're mine, but you don't revel in that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. No, you've got a job to do. Change the world. Renew your communities. Let everyone know there's a way I want things to be, a way I want them to look, and I've taught you in my word what that looks like, what that is. I am king of all creation, and I have come. I came to Israel and made them my own, and then I came to everyone through Jesus Christ. Ah, New Testament. Then I came to everyone through Jesus Christ. My own son. He showed everyone what I have in mind. And I called 12 disciples, and I called over 3,000 on the day of Pentecost, and I have called you, and I called you and changed you and plopped you right down here in the midst of my people, the church. Geneva Joe Young, baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, but also baptized and placed into the community of faith, the community that knows Jesus and will tell her about Jesus, the community that God has called, the community that has the Word of God, the community that knows how God wants this world to look, the community that can work hard to make that happen, to renew everything around them. and we mess it up often. We sin, and just like Israel, but God forgives because that same Jesus with whom we are united, we are in his community, his flock. That same Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins and rose again for our eternal life, so that every single time we sin, God will say, you're forgiven, and don't forget, you're part of the community, my community, get going and renew it. Stretch your wings. You know, there's a subtle difference between the two idioms. And maybe some of you who are goofy and sticklers about words and phrases, maybe you're thinking, you know, he's supposed to be saying, spread your wings, not stretch your wings. Spreading is more familiar. It's the one that you're supposed to use, Grunboom. Spreading your wings is the more accurate way to say it. I know if another pastor used stretch your wings as a sermon title instead of spread your wings, a little part of me, the whole time I was hearing that sermon, would be thinking that phrase is not supposed to, it's supposed to be spread your wings, not stretch your wings. I'd be a little bit. So for you sticklers out there like me who thought Pastor Raj just figured it sounded enough the same and he needed it to go with our stretch goals, so he said, stretch your wings. No. There's a very deliberate reason I used stretch your wings, because of the subtle difference between them. Spreading your wings is more common, definitely. But it's more common when the emphasis is on gaining independence and exploring completely new environments or life stages, often for the very first time. So, for example, she needs to leave Northwest Iowa and move to the big city so she can spread her wings. So she can gain independence and do new things in a new place. But stretching your wings is used when the emphasis is on exercising your current abilities or potential in a familiar field. For example, he's been working here for 2 years at this company. He knows how everything works now. He needs to stretch his wings. Exercising the abilities, we know he's demonstrated them clearly already, occasionally, but he needs to stretch more. We need a lot of more of what we know he has demonstrated already. Hear the subtle difference? Spreading your wings is about broadening your horizons in new places, becoming something you haven't been before. Stretching your wings is about expanding your existing capabilities wherever you are. Beloved, we stretch our wings because God in Jesus Christ did the much harder work of spreading his wings. Jesus at the cross, completely new environment for him, endured our punishment as he spread his wings, his arms. But by doing that, not only did he bring us forgiveness, he placed us into a community with him so that we can now stretch our wings. You know the verse, Psalm 91:4. He will cover you with his feathers. Under his wings you'll find refuge. We love that verse. What a picture. The mighty eagle with his flight feathers, his pinions, the outermost feathers. They are the strongest. They are spread wide so that us tiny eaglets can stretch our little wings. Jesus spreads so that we can stretch. Jesus puts us in the family of God so we know how he wants things to work. Geneva Jo will be taught that so that she can stretch her little wings, and wherever she goes, she can renew the community she is in. She'll know how things work. She'll know how God wants the world to be, so she'll stretch to make that happen. Stretch her wings. On any given day, there are numerous, if she's stretching them right now, there she goes. Excellent. Thank you. I didn't put them up to that, all right? On any given day, there are numerous ways to stretch your wings in this faith community to make the community out there look the way God has taught you that he wants it to look. Take today, for example, an offering for volunteers in service. An organization, listen, that connects deacons with needs out in the community, with people who need assistance, with people who may be having a hard time planting their gardens and eating from the produce of those gardens. That's metaphorical. People who don't have the means to take care of themselves. That's a little less metaphorical. So I challenge the deacons to take hold of that partnership with Volunteers in Service and use the organization to make our community look more like how God wants it to look. How might our deacons help us serve our community even more? How might they stretch their wings so they can challenge us to stretch our wings? A Cookies and Conversation led by Women at Risk, coming up in a few weeks. Women at Risk, an organization helps women who are in danger of being harmed, of being trafficked, of being taken advantage of. We know God does not want His creation to have any of that. We know that because we've been taught that God wants justice and mercy and peace and righteousness, wants health in relationships, not harm. And so I challenge you in a few weeks, as you walk down that hallway, that long hallway, as you talk in that hallway after church, to take a left turn and go in that room and get a cookie and listen to the presentation. How might any one of us stretch our wings and support that organization? It starts by listening to a presentation. But we all have a huge head start because we know already what God wants our community to look like. Kids Hope USA, one of the organizations we're already plugged into. Is it time for you to stretch your wings and at least talk to Mallory Plowman or talk to one of the mentors who are already mentoring and find out if you can stretch even more and maybe become a mentor too as we stretch for our goals, right? That's one of them. The evidence is 30% more participating. As we stretch for our goals, we stretch our wings because we know God wants those little children at West Culligsville to be shown love, and God wants that community, our community, it's part of our community, to be renewed. Hand to Hand, another organization we're plugged into. How do you stretch your wings with this one? We know God doesn't want children to be hungry over an entire weekend in our community. How do you help out? How do you give? Do you help sort food? Do you help distribute food into lockers at the schools? Do you give double, triple, 10 times the number of non-perishable food items for our Thanksgiving offering than you have to this point thought about giving? Bags are being passed out today for Hand to Hand as we leave. How much of a stretch would it be to take more than one bag? To forget the bag, I'm going to fill up one of those oversized Amazon boxes that had a tiny little thing in it, and it came with a box this big, and I'm going to use that for the offering, and I'm going to fill that up. You know how God wants our community to be renewed. You're a member of His body. You don't just wish and hope for Him to come again, come soon. You stretch your wings to make the world how God wants the world to look. Because He has come, He's in charge, and He wants you to stretch. Be a ruby. Special offering for it tonight. How will you stretch for that offering so that people can have food downtown, can have clothes as the winter months are coming? I've seen the Facebook page, and sure enough, there's the Risleys, and there's another couple or two from Faith Community. Might that be a bigger picture that includes more of us? Stretch your wing. Jesus, remember, already did the hard work. He spread His wings, His arms on the cross, and He made us His eaglets. He placed us, listen, He placed us in His beloved. Do you know there are many names for a family of eagles? I looked it up. An aerie of eagles, a congress of eagles, a convocation of eagles, an army of eagles, and of all things, a congregation of eagles. Beloved, that's where Jesus has placed us, in a congregation of eagles. So stretch your wings. You're safe. safely soaring under his pinions, the flight feathers of your Lord, who spread his arms for you on the cross. Who better than you and I to renew our community? We know he's going to return. Fantastic! He's coming again. But in the meantime, we also know it's God's creation, even now, all of it. And we know what he wants it to look like. So, stretch your wings as you renew our community. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that we would not just look at that vision stretch goal and think, yeah, that's nice to have on paper. But no, that we would look at that and remind ourselves and be reminded that a stretch goal, that is showing us how you want us, with what you have taught us, to teach it to others, to help others have the same kind of community that we have here at Faith Community, to bring it other places, because we know how it works. We know how things are supposed to work. You've taught us. You've given us your word. So remind us we are to be about stretching our wings because Jesus spread his for us, his arms on the cross. Help us to stretch our wings as we work toward that stretch goal over these next 5 years. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.